All right, this morning, go ahead and take your Bibles and be turning to the, go to the book of Revelation chapter 1, and then turn your page backwards 1. And you'll find that little bitty epistle of the book of Jude. Just one chapter, 25 little verses. And as you find the book of Jude, and I encourage you to, if you didn't bring your Bible this morning, bring it tonight, and we won't get much done apart from God's Word. I've been praying and studying for weeks now on dealing with the end times and the end days. These days we're living in has had my antenna up, just meditating and looking and musing at the days we're living in. And as a Christian, one that has read God's Word through many times and studied God's Word, my antenna goes up just looking around at the things we're seeing in our life and in our livelihood and in our world. God is busy doing things, and God's busy filling prophecies and fulfilling things that He had men, holy men of old, write down hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and God's right on time doing what God does, and that's fulfilling His promises and being in 100% control. None of this has taken God by surprise, and God has everything going according to His plan. And I thank Him for that. And in days of uncertainty and the unknown, boy, it sure is wonderful to have a Savior and a Lord and a Father who's in control of it all. And I bless Him for that. The book of Jude, that tiny little epistle, all 25 verses of it, I'm going to read it shortly, but I want to give you a couple of thoughts in by way of introduction. And I'm going to be preaching on this subject this morning, living in the last days. Living in the last days. And I have been studying and thinking about and preparing for entering into these sermons and these series of sermons. And it won't be just be one this morning. Matter of fact, I had planned to actually get into the end times and what's going to be taking place right here very shortly in our life and what we're facing. But God pulled me back and draw me back before we was to dive into the book of the Revelation and into the end times and all these prophecies and promises God has given us. And He pulled me back and reined me back to the book of Jude. And Jude is not placed at the end of your Bible by mistake. God providentially put the book of Jude, this little epistle, right there at the end, right there at the very end of your Bible, and right there at the beginning, right before you would enter into the book of the Revelation, that revolutionary, powerful, historic, doctrinal, and prophetical book of the book of the Revelation. And many have been just absolutely enamored by the book of the Revelation, and people are curious to see what it has to say. And we will get into the book of the Revelation, but this morning I want to stop by the book of Jude, and Jude has much to say as concerning to and dealing with the last days, and that is the days that we're living in. Now, before I get into the book of Jude, I want to say the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses." And remember that little statement, creeping in to houses. And they creep into houses unaware and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Back to verse number 1, the Bible says, this know also in the last days. In the last days, and I'm focused on that little phrase, in the last days, and I want you to be getting there in your mind and thinking about the days that we're living in. We are in uncharted territory. Had coronavirus came or had it not, had we ever heard the terminology COVID-19 or not, that still doesn't change the fact that we are living in uncharted, unprecedented days. We are closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been before. And so with that being true, some of these other things, pestilence and famines, things that we are living to see, they just amplify that reality a little louder and a little cleaner and closer and bring it closer to home and heart. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, the Bible says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Speaking of the last days, the Bible says that the love of many is going to wax cold. Those who confess Christ, their love will wax cold because iniquity shall abound. And if we've ever lived in a day and an hour to where iniquity is abounding on every street corner, in every city, in every backwood neighborhood, I mean, sin is prevalent everywhere you look. You don't have to go to town to find it. Right in your own house, you can just click on some device and be taken anywhere in the world to any of the devil's depravity and demonology. It's everywhere. It's all around us. The devil's made it right there at the touch of the hand. Then the 2 Thessalonians verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that no man and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we are living in those days. You say, could the Antichrist be walking planet Earth? I believe he could. Absolutely, I believe he could. And I believe he is. And you say, well, who is he? I don't know. I don't know who he is. But I know that the spirit of Antichrist is very evident. Anywhere you look, the spirit of Antichrist is all around. And he is setting things in order for this world to receive a one world government, a one world church, and a one world army. And that's happening right before our very eyes. Things are happening and things are being put in place. Things that we've never seen and never dreamed could happen are happening right before our very eyes. You say, give me an example. Well, look at where you're sitting this morning. Next Sunday morning will be the first Easter Sunday that churches are not gathering in the history of this country. Schools are put out. Businesses are shut down. And it's not just the churches. And listen, I've had a lot of preachers and people being judgmental and saying, oh, I can't believe y'all ain't having church and this and that and the other. And listen, where's your faith in God and stuff like that? And I just would remind them, they wear seatbelts and they have guns and they lock their doors. And we're trying to take care of God's sheep and the flock of God, which he has entrusted us to do. But I'm saying there'll be scoffers and mockers in the last day. There'll be a great falling away. Men's hearts will wax cold. And that brings us to the book of Jude. I want to you to look at with me the book of Jude. This little bitty chapter, the book of the Revelation is made up of 25 chapters, 404 verses, 12,000 words. In the book of the Revelation. That's a big, broad book. That book has a lot to deal with historically, and you can study it historically and prophetically. No other book like the book of the Revelation when it comes to prophecy and the end times, but also doctrinally. And I'm saying by this by way of introduction this morning that before we get to the book of the Revelation, we must look at the book of Jude, this little epistle, and understand that God did not accidentally let it be placed here, but providentially and sovereignly He put it here for our learning and for our understanding. And the Bible has a lot to say in the book of Jude concerning the condition that this world will be in, and I believe is, in the last days, prior to the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says in the book of Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, and of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You might want to underscore that phrase, contending for the faith, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We'll come back to that. For there are certain men crept in unawares. There's that phrase again I told you to underscore, crept in. Can I tell you, beloved, this morning, men, wicked men, seducers are creeping in all around us. They are climbing into the house of God. They are profiting and making themselves known as they creep in and gain seats and places of authority. They are putting themselves in position in our governments, in our churches, in our schools. Men that are wicked, men that have placed themselves unaware and crept in unaware. You say, what is their motive? What is their mandate? Oh, they have one, but it's not one that God has given. No, it's one that this world and the devil is promoting and putting in place. And the Bible says, for they crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed and about the body of Moses, durst not to bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but that but what they know naturally, as brute beasts in those things. They corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in their way of in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I'll come back to that. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to and to conceive all that are ungodly among them of their own ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. I will come back to that statement. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, and we'll come back to that. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Now and ever. Amen. That's the book of Jude. That's that little epistle of Jude. Boy, ain't it power-packed. It seems like every verse, every stanza, every paragraph, there's just a mouthful of truth, more truth than we could get to for sure this morning. But I want to do my best and say to start out with, you'll notice number one, verses 1 through 3, you'll see them contending for the faith. There they are, verses 1 through 3. You'll see them as this man so powerfully says. Jude reminds us how we ought to contend in these last days. We'll have to contend for the faith. We'll have to earnestly do that. If we're going to contend for the faith, it won't be done haphazardly, half-heartedly. No, if we're going to really put a fight up and keep our faith and hold high the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll have to be done earnestly, contending for the faith. And we see, as I read those scriptures earlier, we read the scriptures about a great falling away. We read the scriptures about how there'll be quitters and forsakers. Those that are has-beens. Those that used to be but are now no longer. Those that are not faithful. Preachers falling out one after another. Men who creep in to places unaware. The love of many waxing cold. What are you saying? I'm saying in this day and hour we're living in, God help us to understand. We have quitters on every corner. We have those who have forsaken the things of God everywhere you can look. And so it's going to take some people that love God enough to earnestly contend for the faith. We need men, women, boys, and girls. They've ever been a time that we're going to live for God. It's in this hour. They've ever been a time to put up a fight for our faith. It's in this hour. I mean, we're seeing sinners die and go to hell by the millions and yea, even billions. And we are here on the side of the road this morning earnestly contending for the faith. But if all people get is what they'll get by riding here past this church this morning, they ain't going to get a whole lot. It's going to take more than a preacher, more than a microphone blaring out on the side of the road. It's going to take real Christians, you that are seated in the car, you that will go on the job site, you that will eventually get back into school, who will go and honestly contend for the faith. Because there's so many, and the world has been convinced, confused by so many that have quit and quit contending for the faith. And that's the day and hour we're living in. And God help us to contend for the faith. Then he moves on, verses 1 through 3, and he goes to verses 4 through 10. I want you to look. Not only do we see the contending for the faith, but we see the corruption of the flesh. We're living in wicked times. We're living in dangerous, perilous, evil days. You say, how did this man know that so far back? The same way he got the rest of this right. He wasn't living in 2020. He had no idea what would take place. He had never heard of coronavirus, or he never heard of what would be going on in this day and hour we're living. But God, through the inspiration of God, God gave him the prophetical fingers to write these verses down to give to every child of God to read and understand what we will be facing. And here we are in 2020 facing the very things that this dear man of God wrote to us about. I want to look at a few of those. Breaks my heart to deal with it, but here it is right here in your King James Bible. Corruption of the flesh. Verse number 7 talks about a strange flesh. Verse number 8 talks about filthy dreamers. Verse number 10 talks about brute beast. Men who will act and conduct themselves like animals. A generation of people that will act like animals. Here we are in 2020, and we have lived long enough to see these verses come to life and take full accuracy. And they are. We are living and breathing in a day and an hour where men are doing things and acting in ways that we never dreamed they would. But here we are. Strange flesh, filthy dreamers, brute beast, a generation of people acting like animals. When God sent the flood, he didn't, listen, when God sent the flood in Noah's day, do you know that God, I wrote this down, never thought about it. God did not destroy all of humanity because their deeds were evil. That ain't what the Bible says. They were evil, but you know why God destroyed that generation in Noah's day? Because their minds were on evil continually. Their minds were on evil continually. And the same is true as we read about not only with Noah, but in Lot's day. They were eating and drinking, married and giving in marriage, doing that was unnatural, giving to that was unnatural, acting in ways that was ungodly and unnatural. And here we are in 2020, and we've lived long enough to see those same things take place again. Things that God destroyed societies and destroyed the world for. And here we are, and it's being promoted and put on front stage. And it's become normal and natural. But it never will be natural in the sight of God. And it shouldn't be natural to us who believe. Does not the Bible say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He didn't destroy them because men did evil, but because their thoughts were evil continually. They have seared consciences. They have hard hearts, reprobate, perverted pedophiles. So who are you talking to? Have you looked around? Just do some research, friend. You won't have to look long till you find pedophile. Just, hey, go home today if you want to get real depressed and understand really how bad a trouble we're in. Say, why would you even deal with such a thing? Because God's Word deals with it. God told us the days we'd live in. And go home and type it on your computer and just see how many people are living around us that's on the predator watch list. Right here in Packlet. Right here in Spartanburg County. They're everywhere. When I pastored in Georgia, I can't tell you how many times I had to go and talk to somebody one-on-one and tell them they couldn't be around their young people. They couldn't be around their nursery. Why? Because it would have been told to me, and I'd find out they were on that list. They had been doing wickedness and ungodly, unimaginable things with children. You say, that's just an every now and then thing. You would be amazed at how prevalent that is. And God said, through His Word, that'd be how it would be in the days, in the last days. And we have lived to see those days. It breaks my heart to say that this morning. But I guarantee you, you talk to your children. You say, preacher, I can't believe you'd deal with this and let my children hear such. If you are that gullible to believe your children don't have a clue of what's going on, I promise you, neighbor, they've heard more than we would want them to hear. They've seen more than we want them to see. Oh, dear friend, if they hear it, they ought to hear it from the house of God. Amen. Well, not only did we see the flesh and the number 3, verses 11 through 21, deals with churches and false religion. Listen, I'm going to get into tonight and in the next few weeks, Lord willing, I'm going to get into more dealing with the Word, right out of the Word of God, which that's where we're at this morning. I'm not preaching you something that's abstract, in my opinion, right here out of your Bible. We just read how we would be dealing with these brute beasts and these sensual, fleshly people. And we're seeing that. But we're going to get into the tribulation period, and we're going to get into how it's going to be and when the rapture takes place. But this is just in the last days, the days we're living in. Not, I'm talking about prior to the rapture, prior to the coming of the Lord. We're there. And the Bible gives us another indicator to let us know we were there. Verses 11 through 21 talks about churches and false religions would be on the rise. Right there in the Word of God, we just read verse 12 talks about a religion without blood. Dead, having no power. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. What are you saying? I'm saying, listen, I'm not just talking about the Muslims and these other sects of religion and that are contrary to the Word of God. Yes, I'm talking about them. But even those who claim the name Baptist, even those who have a steeple over their church, it ain't got to be some weird, crazy religion. I'm talking about right here in the Baptist denomination. Preachers have changed their stance, and churches have changed their belief and their doctrine, and God talked about that it would be so. That's why we have churches that are filled with people and packed out. There's no doctrine. There's no standards. It's just that swelling words, that nice camaraderie. God is love. God is love. And they have lost the message that we must concentrate and stand true to sin and against sin and for the Savior. We'd never be saved if we never understood our reality of being lost in our sin. Jesus said, I didn't come to save them that have no need of a physician. I come to save the sick and the lost, those that are in their sin, and that's where we are. And if we don't tell the lost world where they are, they'll never have the knowledge to know where they're what they need, and that is to be saved from who they are. But yet here we are in the last days. We got preachers mounting pulpits with such swelling words that lost men, women, boys, and girls can fall in by the hundreds and thousands and never be convicted of their sin. They come in one way and leave the same, never being convicted by their sin. God help us. God said when it gets like that, when you have a gospel with no blood, when you have a church with no power, when you have trees that's not producing any fruit, when it's dead and plucked up by the roots, listen, I can cut this grass and it'll grow back, but when you pull the roots up, it's dead, friend. It ain't coming back. And God's telling us that there will be religion and churches that have no power, have no life, have no spirit. Have not we seen those very things take place right here in 2020. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, not only religion without blood and dead, no power, no spirit. Talks about those swelling words. Let me say something about this morning. You might not love the way I preach. I don't much like it either. But I am who I am. I can't be somebody else. Verse 16 talks about swelling words. Do you know a corpse, a dead man, a dead person, a dead body, a corpse? Do you know that a corpse can swell even though it's dead? Have you ever heard of rigor mortis? When a body has not been retrieved and drained of its blood, that blood will begin to coagulate and rigor mortis will set in and things will begin swelling in that body, in that corpse. Yes, dead, yet swelling. Say, what do you mean? Well, you ever seen a dead deer on the side of the road? Freshly hit, looks like a deer. Give it a day or two or three, and it will swell. A dead dog, same thing. Dead, but swelling, growing. Looks like it has life. Looks like it's moving. Looks like it's getting bigger. Everything that's getting bigger is not better. Everything that appears to the eye to be swelling and growing does not mean it has life. So that church down the road, boy, they're growing, they're big. That does not, they're swelling. That does not mean there's life there. No, no. Swelling words. Swelling words. God help us. How many churches are assembled this morning, looking good, sounding good, etc., but there's no life, no spirit. The Holy Spirit's grieved when He goes in. No life, no spirit, no power. They're dead. That's what the Bible says in the book of Jude will happen, will take place. That's the form of churches. I'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we have lived to see that come to pass. Verse 19 talks about having not the Spirit, no breath of God, no anointing of God. Those swelling words and enticing words, but no power. No power. God help us. You know what's wrong with the church? In 2020, I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. No power. If you can come in here living in your sin and not be challenged, not be convicted, it not to ever bother you, God help me, I'm failing. No, I don't want to come to you with swelling, enticing words. I want to preach the Word of God to us all. And if it confronts and convicts us, then have its way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. I'm saying to us this morning, we need churches that have the power of God. We need churches that have the Spirit of God. In closing, number 3, verses 20 through 25. Let me get back there. Verses 20 through 25. Say, that's an awful, bleak, dark picture. That's awful. I come to get encouraged this morning. I come to get help this morning. Hey, listen. I can't dictate what God put in His Word. It's there. And before we can ever get to verse 20 through 25, we had to get from verse 1 to verse 19 and get through it. And we have. And that paints the picture of where we're living. That's the days we're living in, the last days. So what do we do? What do we do as children of God? I'll tell you what to do. God spoke directly to us in verses 20 through 25. Verse 20, He talks about be built up. Let me get my Bible got turned. Hold on just a second. Preaching in the wind, what a lovely thought. Verse 20 said, "But ye, beloved, build up yourselves," building up yourselves on your most holy faith. What do you do? I tell you what do. Start building up yourself in the most holy faith. Seek those things which are above. Seek the things of God. Build up your faith. Work on it. It's going to take every bit of work you can put into it in this day and hour we're living in. Build up your faith. Work on it. Give it time. Not only build up your faith, keep yourselves in the love of God. Said that right there in verse 20. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. There's ever been a time we need to remind ourselves over and over and over again. God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I tell you, you go one day in this old wicked dark world, it won't take long to get you down and distraught and feeling like there's no point in going on. But I'm telling you, remind yourself and keep yourself in the love of God. Surround yourself with the people of God and the presence and power of God. It's going to take that in these last days. That's what you do. You build up your faith and you keep yourselves in the love of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible said. What do we do? But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Boy, that's a lost message for this hour. That's a lost truth of this hour. If there's ever been a time we need to pray. Listen, more than just praying, more than just repetitive words, more than now I lay me down to sleep, more than God is great, God is good. We need to learn to pray and teach our children to pray in power of the Holy Ghost of God. It's going to take that in these days. It's going to take that. What do? Build up our faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 22, the Bible says, "And some having compassion, making a difference." What do? I'll tell you what we do. We love sinners like we've never before. We have compassion on those who are down and out and who have been gobbled up and chained by sin, who the devil has in his snares. We go along in love, in patience, in the love of Christ, having the mind of Christ, and showing the compassion to a lost and dying world. That's what we do. On some, are we going to save them all? Are we going to win them all? No. There are some, the Bible says, of some have compassion, making a difference. What do? In 2020, we make a difference. Amen. The light never shines as bright as it does in the dark. Love sinners till Jesus gets back. Love sinners to Jesus. That's what we do. In the midst of a world that's going to hell and seems to be all right with it, we are to love and have compassion on sinners. We need to have compassion and let the love of Christ reach men, women, boys, and girls. What does this world? I tell you what this world don't need. This world don't need cold Christians. This world don't need religion with swelling words that's dead and has no power and no spirit and no life. They don't need that. They don't need another church up the road that's going to be dead, having not the power of God. They need this world don't need churches with no standards, no power, no spirit. This world don't need any more preachers that will stand and conform to this world and have no power and speak and preach in swelling words. No, they don't need no more preachers like that. The world's full of them. There's enough Joel Osteens for my life to be full. I don't need any more. Amen. Making it easy for... We don't need any more preachers to make it easy for sinners to be a part without being a part. Amen. What the world does need, I'll tell you what the world needs. The world needs some compassion, not cold Christians, but compassionate Christians. The world needs churches that will lift high the bloodstained banner and have some standards and some criteria that says, yes, we're not of this world. No, Jesus paid a price to save us. Come out from among the world and be a separate, saith the Lord. That's still the right message in 2020. We need some pure religion. That's not. Listen, we don't need any more just regular old stinking religion. No, my friend, this world's got plenty of religion. We need some pure religion that the book of James talks about, that's undefiled. Churches with high standards and full of power. We need some preachers full of God and leather long that'll rear back and preach what thus saith the Lord. That's what we need. You need some Christians and preachers and Christians that are filled with the Holy Ghost of God, with a real burden for lost sinners, who will love sinners where they are, how they are. Amen. I'm not saying we ought to be cold towards sinners. That's the last thing I'm saying. No, if we'll get full of God, get full of the Spirit of God, and have the mind and compassion of Christ, I promise you it will help us to reach sinners where they are, not walk by them in our dead, cold religion. Tell them, oh, they wasn't no use for them anyway. We don't want that kind at our church. I'll tell you, I want them. I don't care where they at, what they're in. We want them. And Jesus can save them. We're living in the last days. It's very evident. If you just look around, it ain't hard to see. Here we are at church, but I'm telling you, just thinking in churchy terms and churchy situations and atmospheres, look around at how churches have changed. God help us to be an old-fashioned, fundamental, spirit-filled, sin-hating, Savior-exalting, old-fashioned Baptist church in this day and hour we're living in. Still has a burden for sinners, a burden to get the gospel out here and around the globe. Your children. I read an article this morning. I'm closing. A friend of mine wrote. He's up north pastoring somewhere. He works for a newspaper. He writes articles for a newspaper. And he wrote this article this morning. He talked about how we've heard the statement before many times about how the church is not made up of brick and mortar. And the building is not the church. And we've heard that. But here we are in 2020 having to live that reality like never before. Never in my lifetime have I had to, I've made that statement before, but never have I had to live that reality and that truth that the church is more than a building, than what we're doing right now. Because there you are, not in the building. And there we'll go outside, and we'll go to our own houses and respected places in just a moment. And I plead with you, be the church. You're more than a building. You are the church. If this community is ever going to see anything and taste anything of the Lord, it's going to be because we, the church, go out in this community and give it to them. Show it to them. Mamas and daddies, I plead with you. Get back into the prayer closet with your youngins. How many of you are having family altar? How many of you are reading the Word of God with your youngins? Daddy, God made you the high priest of your home. It ain't a preacher's job to raise your youngins for God. I'm trying my best, but if all they get is what I give them, they will fail. I plead with you, Daddy. Get before God and get full of God. Your children need you and me as a father like they've never needed us before. They need to see us being the church, becoming the church. Mamas, your children ain't never needed a praying mama like they have in these days. I plead with us this morning. I plead with us this morning. Youngins, you ain't got a chance of making it in this society in these days if you don't get something real from God. A little church every Sunday will not do you. No, you're going to have something more to last in these last days. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, come to you in Jesus' name again. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, it's a little tough this morning. God, your Word is true. Lord, I know it's true. It breaks my heart, Lord, to see the way things have gotten, Lord, in our day. But God, it's just a reminder that the days are short. God, that your coming is soon. And there's never been a time like the present to be a Christian. God, help us, Lord, to go about our way today. God, and to take the words that's been given to us today. Take them to heart, Lord. Search ourselves. God, look in the mirror of your Word and reflect on what you've said to us. God, I pray you'd help us, God, to desire more than ever to earnestly contend for the faith, Lord. Be the church. Have compassion. Have the mind and heart of Christ so that our lost friends, neighbors in this world could experience the salvation of the Bible. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. I love you. I don't even know what time it is. I know I didn't preach 30 minutes. It was longer than that this morning. Well, not much. Hey, 6 o'clock tonight. 6 o'clock tonight. We'll be back right here. I hope you'll come. I love you. Be praying today for Brother Wayne, as I mentioned. Also, Sharon Bright, one of our church members, my cousin. She got cancer, found out she needed prayer too. So pray for these. I love you. God bless you at Liberty. 5 after 12. That ain't bad. All right. God bless you.